Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen, coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. We've had quite the week, and we are going to wrap up our week of talk parts of Rated G Radio tonight with Mr. Rob Watson, who's rejoining the show. He's kind of becoming a fixture here, and I really enjoy having him part of the broadcast. You'll know him, of course, from Santa Cruz. Is very popular out in Santa Cruz on KSCO's 1080 AM every Saturday night at 7 p.m. You can also go to KSCO. Well, Rob will tell you the link, but you can listen to them online. So if you're not in Santa Cruz and you're somewhere else like Poughkeepsie, you'll be able to tune in and hear Rob's show on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. But we're going to have him on in just a second. Just a real quick reminder, you know, sometimes people tune in every night of the week, which I love when you do. Sometimes people tune in just, you know, for the subject matter expert like Rob is tonight. And sometimes you just, you know, click in because you happen to be sitting around doing nothing. So I'm going to kind of give you a preview of what's coming up as well as where we've been this week. So if you want to go back and check out any of the archives on demand, you can. I'll also remind Rated G Radio is always available as a podcast on iTunes. If you want to go download that, it's always free of charge to you. You can go ahead and get the programming and go and listen to as many back episodes as you want. This is especially helpful. I'm going to tell you, this is as your friend, Garrett Miller. This is especially helpful if you're on long road trips this summer and you're looking for stimulating programming that you can listen to after midnight or at 9 a.m. or at 4 p.m. that's going to keep you wide awake during your traverses across the country. So download it on iTunes. You can take the show anywhere you want. So on Monday's show, we had Dr. Annie Ulrich. Dr. Annie is always the person who comes on at the beginning of the month, and she gives everybody her energy update for what you can expect energetically to take place during the month. So she was on Monday's show. She also took listener calls. Tuesday, we had New York Times bestselling author Rafe Hayes talking about his book, The Next, but we also talked about his new book and his new CD that he wrote, the music to accompany that. Not too many authors also write CDs of original music to go along with their books. Rafe is doing that, and we talked about that, and as well as playing his song. He said it's going to be a lot better. It was great, but it's called Dead in the Water, and it accompanies the new book, which was cool. And last night we had psychic Zoe Nicholas on. Zoe did about a half of an hour of education, which I think is important because sometimes when we have those shows where we have psychics on, you know, and I love all the callers, so I'm just kind of just putting that out there first. But we have a lot of callers that shop around, and they call in show to show to show, and sometimes they call to the various guests that are on all of the different shows that, you know, we have our special, my fun guests, like psychics or tea leaf readers or tarot card readers on, and they ask the same question. I know that if, you know, so-and-so calls from wherever, that person's going to ask about her job, and she asks the same question every week, and if I have two fun guests on a week and they happen to get through the call queue, they'll ask the same question, and it's like, okay, whatever. So one of the things that Zoe does with her clients is she goes through a transformational healing process as well. So it was really interesting to hear the take that Zoe uses when she actually talks to callers or helps people in her daily practice from a psychic standpoint, but also from a healing standpoint. So there's that little sales pitch for going back to hear what's happened earlier in the week. Tomorrow's going to be a listener request Friday night dance party. We're going to be doing the dance party really early in the day. It's going to be a morning show tomorrow. I don't know how early yet. I'm guessing it may be as early as 7 a.m., but that will be to be determined. So just simply look up the, you know, click the links. It'll be on Facebook. And even for Bill in upstate New York, Bill, I know you're listening to the show now. Thank you for tuning in. But the show will be early tomorrow. And so with that little bit of housekeeping, I want to bring on our guest, Mr. Rob Watson. And Rob is so many things. He's got a laundry list of all the things that he is, and I'm going to try to cover all of them, but I'm only going to get to about an 18th of them. But Rob is a very popular blogger. He is an LGBT activist. He is a celebrated author. He is a dad of two growing boys. He lives in Santa Cruz, California, and he is our guest co-host tonight, and I thank Rob for being here on the show. Rob, how are you?
Great, and it's a pleasure to be here. I'm actually trying to figure out which fixture on your show I want to be, and I think I've decided chandelier. That's what I
like
said.
That. So, Rob Watson, chandelier.
Chandelier. There, I'm adding to
I
my
like
resume
that it's kind
as
like a drag name.
Chandelier. Oh, no. Okay.
I've never done drag. I've never done drag, but if I was going to do it, now you've given me, you know, my inspiration for a drag name, chandelier.
Okay, now you've led me to a true confession, right? I mean, I'm on the show for 5 minutes, and you already have me confessing. When I was a youngster, I actually had this fixation with drag, and of course, it was all very secret. And when I was 10, I went in drag as my Halloween costume, and tromping along. Yes, and my parents just thought that was the most creative thing, and you know, it was great and all that sort of stuff. But we lived in a place where it was very hilly, and I was wearing my mom's high heels and stockings and the whole deal. And oh my gosh, never again. I have no desire. It killed whatever drag gene I had, gone.
Well, at least, so, you know, it's nice that you get that stuff kind of figured out, you know, because I think it does become harder as you, you know, grow up. And if you had a really good experience doing that, you know, and, you know, if that's what you wanted to do, great, you know, because, you know, more power to you. But it's interesting that you figured out, you know, that at such a young age.
Yeah, no, that did it for me. So, yeah, a drag career was cut short. Let's put it that way.
But a writing career has blossomed for you. And, you know, as a guest that's been on the show now a couple of times, and a few times, and we're going to have you back, you know, millions of times more. I think it's important for people to really realize the impact of what you are doing and why this is so important to so many different segments of our community, because you really are a voice for a lot of people that don't have a voice. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing and some of your recent things that have gone really just crazy on the internet?
That what you described is really one of the drivers for me. I have written, especially in the past, different articles. I've written about a transgender woman in Nigeria who I think has gotten safe in the last year or so. But she and I were corresponding early on, before they passed the horrendous law there, and I wrote about her. I actually wrote about a young man in Uganda, and we had a GoFundMe attached to that and got him out of the country.
Wow.
So that was, you know, pretty powerful. It just, I feel blessed. I'm in a position where I can take on the voice for different people and make a case for them and get their story out there, and people are listening, and that's very gratifying.
And so why do you think you want to do, what propelled you to say, you know what, I'm going to try to be a voice for people that don't have a voice? Because it's not like, you know, most people are sitting around their offices, or even other journalists are sitting around going, you know what, I'm going to try to help people.
I think it's something that festered for years, because in the 80s, when the AIDS crisis was coming out, and there were some just awful, awful political things going on in California. It was, you know, when they had an initiative that gay people couldn't be teachers. And then when AIDS hit, the La Roche initiative that was going to round up HIV positive people and put them in camps or whatever, you know, all of that was going on. And in the mainstream press, which was not online at the time, you know, there'd be an article here or an article there. The government wasn't talking about it. And so it was hugely frustrating to have so much to say and be so angry and so concerned, and nothing was happening. As things became more online and people, you know, they started having websites and the internet 10, 15 years later, I was on a lot of those discussion boards. And, you know, writing has always been something I've done professionally. And so I was using my writing to argue with people one-on-one and 10-on-1 type of thing. Finally, new social media, it finally gave me an avenue to do what I think has been pent up for a long time. And this blog process actually started from a discussion board. There was an article written called "I'm Christian Unless You're Gay" by a man named Dan, who runs the Single Dad Laughing site. And that his article went viral, and he had this discussion as attached that was attached to it. And a bunch of us were on there defending, you know, the pro-gay side of things, with a lot of anti-gay people on there. So there was a lot of online arguing. And a group of us appreciated what we were writing on the pro-gay side, and we decided to start a blog site on our own. And so we did so. And my articles did pretty well. And my one blog mate was our first incredibly super viral piece. He wrote a piece called "Defended or Defriended Over a Wedding, a Straight Man Gains Perspective." And his story was about, he's a straight guy, and his brother got married in San Francisco, and he went to the wedding and was sharing the pictures on his Facebook page. And a guy wrote to him and said, you know, same-sex marriage, that's over the top. You know, I'm going to defriend you. Sorry about that. I like you, but, you know, that's too much. And so Dave is his name. He came to me and said, you know, this is garbage, and I want to write about it, which he did. And I looked at his draft and said, you know, Dave, it's really good, but you're not in it. You know, what impact did this have on you? So he took it back and he wrote about what happened, but then he wrote about what the impact was on him as a straight person. And he did a fabulous job at writing it. And it was our first viral piece. And that was amazing, because it was in the days when Facebook wasn't hiding anybody. So everybody who had big sites, when they posted it, went out to everybody. And it was that piece was, still is, the best read piece on our whole blog. I've caught up in total, but not one single piece like he did. And it was read, when all was said and done, it was read over 300,000 times.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he ended up making a video of it, of him reading it, and he did, again, a really great job on it. And he was named, not last year, but the year before, by Huffington Post, one of the top 10 allies of the year because of the video he made about it. So So already I was rubbing elbows with talented people, and some of it just, you know, theoretically rubbed off, I guess.
Well, you've done I need to watch. I was going to say, you've done a lot of rubbing off lately, Rob, but that's not what I want to say. I want to say you've done a lot of raising awareness lately, especially when we have, you know, a lot of people that, and I don't want him to say, you know, from the LGBT perspective, but I think anybody that has common sense, and I don't want to say that because I am in a particular category, but you hear people talk and you're like, you just can't be that dumb. I don't care if you, you know, are LGBT or not, you just can't be that dumb. And you have people like the Duggars that are out there that are making just crazy comments. And, you know, you've been doing some very successful and very high profile open letters to people in the, who are getting attention for really dumb stuff. And number one, I'm very proud of you for doing it and writing such eloquent letters. But number two, I think that you really have found a unique way of addressing what I think a lot of people in the community are thinking, but simply for whatever reason, you are now the voice of that. How did that come about for you when you wrote your first one? And can you kind of lead us down that path of, you know, the different things that you've been working on lately?
Sure. Yeah. Their first one, and it was right around that time. In fact, mine came before David's big, huge viral one. In fact, we were all very impressed with what I had done, which went to like 3,000 people. And, you know, so we were like, wow, this blog thing's taken off and how great. My piece, which did go to several thousand people, and it is the piece that got me the attention of Huffington Post, was a man had written a letter, a handwritten letter to his son. And it was after his son had come out, and the guy just basically said, "You're not my son anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with you." And it was just really an awful letter. And the son had posted the image of that letter online, and it had kind of gotten a lot of play. A blogger who is now a very good friend of mine, but I didn't know him at all at the time, who writes Ask Your Dad, which is a blog, had written a very cute response to that letter. And his wife was pregnant at the time, so he wrote a letter to his unborn son 20 years hence, and was imagining what it would be like in 20 years for his son to come out to him. And I read his letter, and it was really cute. It was really well done, except that it still struck me as wrong, because it was like, I was looking at my two sons and saying, I don't want them to have to come out. Coming out is not okay with me. I want to know who my kids are and not have this part of them that is this big secret. So I wrote a piece called A Gay Dad's Perspective on the Hate Note Writing Father. And that was my piece that I wrote. And the letter I wrote in that piece was actually to my two sons. And it is a letter that was telling them that, what I felt about their potential sexual orientations. And that was the letter. Huffington Post picked it up. And when Huffington Post ran the piece, they changed it so that it read, "A gay dad sounds off on the hate note writing father." And I have picked that up as part of my brand ever since. So a lot of my pieces are "A Gay Dad Sounds Off."
Cool.
Yeah. So I went with that, but that kind of started my open letter process. And I've written now hundreds of them. And I think the real key to that is twofold. One is that in my writing style, when I'm addressing one of these people that you just mentioned that is like completely brain dead or completely evil, I mean, they run the gamut. I really want to talk to them directly. And I want to do it in not as derogatory a manner as I could, but as if I was actually discussing it with them. And what I found is that for a lot of people, when I'm doing that, it's like standing up to the playground bully. So, I feel like my audience is standing behind me while I'm confronting this person on their behalf. And I think that's what's been kind of the formula that's made all that work.
Well, I was going to say that's exactly how I read it, and I think that's one of the reasons I've enjoyed the letters that you've written, and quite frankly, I didn't know you've written 100. That's me as a poor host not doing enough homework, and I know you now, Rob. So I'm like, oh, these are kind of cute, little letters that he's writing. But it does very much resonate with me, and I if I use the term bullied as a kid, I'm going to tell you that really sounds much more severe than it probably was. But I was picked on as a kid, not because, and I didn't have any idea about LGBT or any of that stuff. I was picked on a kid because I was a wimp. I was skinny and, I was not the big bad bully, type. I was not that kid. So it was easy for kids to pick on me. Was I popular? Yeah, but I still had, a few people that, would try to chase me home from the bus and, throw snowballs at me when we'd ever get snow in Salem. But So those kind of things kind of stick with a person as you grow up. And so reading your letters, that really, I think, kicked in for me. And so I think that's one of the reasons why I appreciate what you do, on top of the fact that you write so beautifully and you make such great statements to, I think, just anybody who reads it. Doesn't it have, it would be nice if the people that you're writing to actually get your letter or would have the balls to actually sit and read it and then even give you a response. But out of the hundreds that you've written, how many people that you've written them to have actually read them?
Or a surprising amount have.
Wow.
It is. It is really amazing to me how close I've gotten into the inner circle of the people I've written to. Now, not all of them respond, and not all of them are in a position where I would have expected them to, but I've gotten both indication that they've seen it or they know about it. One of the big ones that I wrote that has been read by like 112,000 people was when the movie Frozen came out, and a grandmother blogger in Utah wrote this blog that went viral on its own. And she was just sure that the movie Frozen was a gay propaganda film. And she wrote this whole thing about, you know, Christians, you shouldn't take your kids to see this film because it is promoting the gay lifestyle in these subtle secret ways. And she wrote a whole piece on it. So I wrote a piece back, and it was a gay dad's open letter to the Frozen hating grandmother. And that went crazy viral. Now, what I found out after I wrote that was, because I wrote it, and one of the things I mentioned to her in this letter was, you know, she had mentioned she had a number of grandkids, and just odds were that one of those grandkids was probably going to be gay. And but what I didn't know when I wrote the letter was that her daughter actually is gay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And she is not living in this country. She's living over in Africa. But in that, she saw my piece, and we were corresponding a little bit on Facebook. And I think she assured me that her mother had seen it, but, you know, number one, it wasn't going to change her. And number two, she would never respond to me. But,
right.
You know, so I knew that one got through. The potential, even the Duggar one, because of that letter, which again went crazy viral, I got invited to go on to The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC. And Lawrence's program was following up the Fox interview with the Duggars. So if the Duggars are watching anything at all, they certainly would have watched NBC, seen that there was this article out to her. So somebody in the Duggar family or in that circle has got to have seen that. The first one that made me kind of, this was early on, that made me kind of sit up and go, ooh, be careful what I say because these people are going to hear it, was several years ago. There was a, this was before California had passed its law outlawing reparative therapy for minors. And they were just at that point considering the bill. And the California Psychological Association had come out initially against that bill. And so I wrote this blog and just derided the president of the California Psychological Association. And Huffington Post picked up the piece. It was running on there. Meanwhile, it was sort of work in progress because while the piece was running, the California Psychological Association reversed themselves and came out for the bill, and the bill passed. Well, I go on to Huffington Post, and one of the first comments on my article is from the president of the California Psychological Association. So it was like, wow. Okay, she heard me talking about her and she answered. So how powerful was that? It was very awakening. It was, and you know, I have to say it was really gratifying because ultimately that's what I wanted to do when I started writing was, you know, I didn't want to write for my own enjoyment. I didn't even want to write for the choir. I really want to write for those people to see it and hopefully to shake them off, you know, their position somewhat. And so,
I just think that's so commendable because, you know, I think that the approach that you take is one that just is fresh from a writing standpoint, and I don't read everything. I mean, how, because now everybody can be a writer, everybody can be a radio host, look at me, everybody can be a this, everybody can be a that. But I think what you do carries a lot of weight, and you are changing a lot of minds, or at least raising a lot of eyebrows. And I think you're doing it in a very respectful and healthy way that I think kind of gets lost, because a lot of articles that you see, whether it's on, you know, we can look at Facebook and everybody can see, you know, well, so-and-so did this and now look what happened. We're all going to hell. And you're like, really? Come on. You know, there's no perspective and there's no rational thought behind anything. And I think you give that rational thought to people who desperately want to have just like sound journalism and sound reasoning. And you are doing that when it's such a rare commodity, I think, in today's writing market.
Well, thank you. And that is what I'm trying to do. And it is twofold. It's you know, I was talking about having them see my voice specifically, but also what I've found is a lot of people who, over especially the last 2 years, and especially when I started writing, were, you know, gut feeling, pro-gay, pro-marriage equality. But, you know, they would get bombarded by these often stupid arguments or illogical arguments or emotional arguments. And when I wrote it out, it became like talking points for them, because they read what I would write and go, oh, that makes sense. That's the answer I want to give Aunt Margaret when she comes back to me on that stuff. And so, so it was, you know, that was very helpful. Recently, I had one that absolutely blew my mind, and I don't, if I'm repeating myself from last time when we talked, forgive me, but I wrote an article about the hate initiative that was being proposed for the California ballot.
Oh my and, gosh, it's the craziest thing ever.
Completely. And I put out my blog on a Friday, and LGBTQ Nation picked it up on that weekend. And the following Monday, just, you know, one working day later, the California Assembly meets and passes this initiative, you know, condemning the law, stating that they are going to fight it with whatever means they have. They don't want it to go to the street. They don't want people to be accosted to sign it. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a great coincidence. Well, what I found out was, from some voices behind the scenes, was that my blog got into every single mailbox of the Democratic caucus in Sacramento.
I love that.
So that was like, wow, amazing. Now, here's another one that I don't tell very many people, so I don't want you to tell anybody this one.
I'm not telling a soul. So everybody out there listening, close your ears. You're not hearing this. Okay, go ahead, Ron.
So, but before the first Supreme Court decision, when they were deciding on DOMA and the Prop 8 question, I wrote an article that was inviting Justice Anthony Kennedy to come have dinner at my house. And it was, that was an invitation to the Supreme Court justice to have dinner with my family. And the article was a description of my family, what, you know, we didn't have, introducing him to my two kids and the rights that my kids didn't have because, you know, we couldn't be married. And that was the article. Huffington Post ran it as their top banner article when they ran it. LGBTQ Nation did the same thing, you know, big banner on that. So it went around in a very, very big way. So the Supreme Court was inundated with all sorts of amicus briefs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when they got to the questioning in the court, the thing that Anthony Kennedy kept asking people was, what about the children who live in California that are children of same-sex couples? That was his big question. And, you know, part of me was like, that was from me. That was my article. That was my point. And, you know, did he read that article? Did somebody point that out to him? Did that, you know, get in his mind that way? I don't know. But it made me certainly feel consistent with the prevailing thought. Let's put it that way.
I think that's great. Okay, I don't want to cut you off here, Rob, but I'm going to tell you, we're at the halfway point of the show. Can you believe we're already at 7:30?
You are going to get a 3-hour show sometime, right? They're going to do that for you?
Well, we are working on that. We're going to try to fund some of that a little differently, and we're going to start increasing this. Number one, I want to do a couple of things since we're at the halfway mark here of the show. I want to thank Rainbow Brew out of Minneapolis, St. Paul for being a sponsor on the show. When we upload the show to YouTube, because every night on the Monday through Thursday show, I'm uploading the program to YouTube. So if you just want to, I don't know what there is to watch because we're not really doing any video, but if you're watching the show on YouTube, I'll have some promo stuff with Rainbow Brew on there. So if you'd like to help support the people who are supporting Rated G Radio, I number one ask you to do that. But Rainbow Brew has some awesome coffee out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. They grow it locally, they grind it, and they can ship it anywhere in the world. And go to rainbowbrew.com. So that's number one, plug, plug, plug. Number two, we've got a special guest star who is in the Blog Talk chat room with us tonight. It's a gentleman by the name of Scott, and he goes by Left of Straight. And Scott has a great new podcast that is out called Left of Straight right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to make sure that at the end of this show, so I'm publicly doing this, so now it's accountability on my part, I'm going to connect you, Rob, with Scott, with Left of Straight, and get you connected. So, you know, maybe there's opportunities for you guys to have dialogues and conversations, and maybe you can have Scott on your show on out of, you know, in Santa Cruz, and, you know, maybe vice versa. So I always like to cross-pollinate and cross-promote anytime that we possibly can. So there's that. So would it be okay if we shifted gears just a tiny little bit? Because we have a ton of stuff that I want to cover with you tonight, but I'd love to talk more about your letter writing, but you have another article that's out I think it's a sneak preview that you gave me today, right before the show. And then we've also got a video that my lightning fast, I'm not going to say the name of the company because I don't want to give them any publicity, but their name rhymes with Horizon. So this company with a name that rhymes with Horizon, I have this upgraded, you know, mega super duper service that's supposed to do amazing uploads and downloads, and I pay extra for it so I can do the show and download music and video and stuff like that so I can be, you know, kind of a hip cool kid. So Rob sends me this video that we're going to talk about in just a second. And it's about, he'll tell us what it's about. But he goes, I'm going to send this to you. And I go, great. Now, typically, and this makes it sound like I'm so much more important than I am. I'm just this guy, okay? But, you know, throughout the course of the day, I've got day job stuff I take care of. I'm trying to schedule new guests. I'm trying to push, you know, my music, you know, sell a little merch along the way, get some CDs, you know, pushed and all this kind of stuff. So it's not like I sit here for 8 hours going, you know what? I'm going to sit here and just, you know, read everything that, you know, my guests are going to do, and I'm going to memorize everything that Rob's going to talk about. So it's usually about an hour or two before the show starts. I'll sit down at the studio and say, okay, I've fed the dogs. Oh, Family Feud and Judge Judy's a repeat. I think I'm going to do a little show prep tonight. So that's what I did about 2 hours ago to get this video that, you know, that Rob downloaded or emailed over to me. And with my lightning fast internet speed from the company that rhymes with Horizon, I should have been able to download this in like 4 minutes. So I've been downloading this now for about 3 hours or 2 hours, and I still have 2 hours and 52 minutes left. The file is only 285 megabits, and so it should have just gone bing, bing, bing in about 5 minutes, so in 2.5 hours. So I was going to watch this and be a good host, and, you know, so I could ask Rob all of these fascinating questions about the video, but instead, we're going to have Rob tell us about the video and why it's important. So where do you want to go first? Do you want to go about the article that you shared with us earlier about the woman who wants to save the lives of little kids who feel different, or do you want to talk about the video that I know nothing about?
Well, we can do both. Let's go with the woman, because that article is now live on my blog on evaultequals.com. So if somebody's listening and they want to pull that up and read along, they can do that. The video, okay,
do me a favor, spell your website for that, because it's a cute name, but it's spelled a little differently. So I want to make sure if people are listening and don't have the website up that they can actually hear that and write it down correctly.
Yeah, it's Evol, E-V-O-L, equals, E-Q-U-A-L-S.com. And Evol is love backwards, spelled backwards. So it's E-V-O-L.
It's smart. Rob, you're always thinking.
We were so creative with that, you know. It's like, and then everybody's like, Evol, what's a? But Evol also kind of implies evolution, which was being then used in a lot of ways for people talking about how they were moving the dime on marriage equality. So it kind of has worked. That it's on there. The video will be out through thenextfamily.com. But I would look for that in about a week, and I'll just tell you about the video in a minute. The article is an interview, actually. It is an interview with Sarah Feely, who is a director filmmaker, and she made a very short film that is a CNN film called Raising Ryland. And it is this beautiful film about some parents who have a transgender child who is 7 years old. The child was born Ryland. They named the child Ryland. The appearance of the child being born was that of a girl, but they quickly found that identity was being rejected by Ryland in a very big way. Ryland is also deaf, so he has implants and hearing aids. But then they decided that they needed to support who he really is and have helped him transition to his life as a boy. And Sarah made a film about it, and I interviewed her and wrote basically a story around her, you know, what motivated her, her thought process. And I brought in some, there was some backlash from some members of the transgender community who had concerns, and I integrated that in to show both sides of the article, but also then brought in another family who saw that film who have a 5-year-old child and their experience. And it is really an amazing thing. I mean, these people are saving lives, because one of the statistics that gets quoted is that more than 50% of transgender youth will have at least one suicide attempt by their 20th birthday. But when the family is supporting them, when the family does what these families are doing, that number drops by 95%.
Wow.
And it just, you know, it's, so this article is, you know, a tribute to her and her work and what she's doing. It's funny, because we were just talking about how I write these letters to strangers and then somehow kind of connect with these strangers. The other side of the articles I've done have been, for me, absolutely incredible opportunities to meet these fantastic people that just blow me away. I mean, and you being one of them, because I admire what you do. And
my check must have cleared for you, Rob. Thank you.
no, seriously. I mean, it's like, just, you know, your journey of transformation is incredibly inspiring. And I appreciate your friendship and the inspiration that I've gotten from that. But I've met, I've done this article about two gay dads in Canada whose son has maple syrup urine disease. And
what?
That disease means, yeah, it's a weird sounding disease, but the bottom line is, if they don't feed him the right balance of protein every single day, this child is susceptible to brain damage and death.
Oh my gosh.
And these gay dads are, they've devoted their life to this, and they're an amazing family. And, I've had them on, I've talked to them and interviewed them. And, I've had been able to have a friendship with them. I don't know if you remember this, but about a year ago, a pastor in Mississippi tried to out a woman who had married a transgender man, and were trying to, cause trouble for them. And I met her and her husband and wrote an article about them and, what they had to deal with. So it's just been, this has been the greatest adventure for me, of meeting people who are doing heroic, fantastic, stuff. And this latest article is just one of those.
Okay, can I ask a question? And this is me being, you know, kind of bitchy here, to be quite honest, because it's one of my take on it, and I'll get to my question because I'm trying to, you know, lead up to this, is that, you know, no matter what you do, there's always going to be somebody who's going to say, well, that's not good enough, or boy, that really stinks. And I think, and I was a little upset at one of the people that you interviewed for this article, and it's Siobhan Patricia Lynch.
Right.
And she goes, the quote that we have on here, let me see if I can find it here. It seems bizarre to me that this is what is so sensational it is to sell these days. Trans issues have become the new rights battle. But it comes at the price of all the individuals that are now front and center. I made a choice to myself. I feel this kind of news is at the expense of the child who has already experienced enough trying to figure out who or what they are. The reality is that we don't live charmed lives. Where is that? Okay, the quote, I'm struggling here, but she's basically saying, you know, parents who are helping their kids, you know, they shouldn't be called heroes. That should be like the basic thing that they should be doing as parents. And I was really kind of put off by that because it was like, there are so many parents that are out there across the country who are like, I don't know what the F I'm supposed to do, but this is what my kid's doing, or this is who my kid is. I don't know how to handle this. And I think, you know, this, the person who is in the film, you know, they're showing them, here are examples of what parents are doing to support their kids. If you feel you're in this boat, you know, take advantage of this. But I was really put off by that trans activist who was saying, you know, this is parents shouldn't be celebrated for this. I don't know. What did you think when you got that response from that person?
Well, she actually gave me that response before I wrote the article. We were in a writer's group, and we were just discussing the film itself. And she wrote that opinion about it. Part of my reaction to it was, you know, I'm not trans. I have so many people that I love in my life that are my heroes who are trans, but there is nothing where I can stand up and say, yeah, I know what it feels like. So from just that standpoint alone, I thought she was negative, but I'm not in a position to say she's wrong.
Right.
Now, as a parent, you know, and to the world of my co-parents out there of all stripes, I think most parents are pretty much heroic one time or another with their kids, in one issue or another. You are asked to do things for your kids that you are not asked to do for any other living being. And in that sense, in the high bar of heroicism the parents are asked to provide on a normal basis, okay. But to me, it's no negative to turn to parents like Rylan's parents and go, wow.
Right.
I mean, you know, wow, that you are willing to step out of your comfort zone this way. Wow. So, you know, I wanted to give Patricia her forum to air her opinion, and it's out there. So, you know,
fair enough. Okay, then I'll stop beating you up for that. But I was really put off by it. It's like, come on, it's just like somebody trying to do something good. If it doesn't have to be good for you, but at least it's good for, you know, who they're trying to help.
Right. And that's also why the next part in the article, why I wanted to balance her viewpoint with the viewpoint of another set of parents who have a transgender child, mm-hmm. that, you know, that by seeing that film, it wasn't coincidence, by seeing that film, it moved them from point A way down the road, mm-hmm. to a fantastic life for their child. So I wanted to juxtapose those reactions. You know, it's like it.
Well, you've done it.
Complex. So yeah. So that was,
and you got a response out of me. So I guess that's as a writer, I guess that has, I hope that makes you feel good that you got people that are riled up over the things that you're putting in.
Well, it just, I didn't want it to be a propaganda piece, and I didn't want to be all glowing and have it be somebody come along saying, you're just doing frontman PR for this. I wanted it to be real and give, the depth of perspective. The one point she brings up, and I think the Ryland, well, I took it personally because of what I do, was the part about where parents are making the choice for essentially outing their children. And I mean, I'm guilty of that. I write about my boys. They've not given me express permission to share about their lives, but I do it. And there may be a day where I literally have to apologize to them, but I'll apologize, but say it was for the greater good, because the reason I do it is that people out there need to see that our family exists, and they need to understand where we came from. They need to understand the depth of what is entailed in our family. And you and I have mutual friends who also have kids from foster care and that type of thing. And, they're not public, but I need to be even more public for all of those kind of families.
You're also in a position to be more public. And I think that, again, just like anybody who's out there, and you can take your pick, across the land on which celebrity or which person becomes a celebrity just simply because of the stand that they take. It's because they do that, they give visibility and they give a voice to a lot of people that just simply don't have the resources, ability, or opportunities to share their story, or they feel threatened or harassed or picked upon or put upon or bullied. And I think that, I think if you if you know somebody who's gay and you get to know them and you've never known a gay person before and you thought all gay people were gross before, and then you meet gay people and you're like, but Rob is cool and Rob is fun and Rob puts his pants on just like everybody else and Rob pays his bill and Rob, does it, changes how you think about that person and that category. And I think that helps break down either bias or bigotry across any boundary. And so I think what you do is very, very powerful and very, very good. So again, my hat's off to you for doing what you do. And you do it passionately. You do it every single day of the week. And you make a difference in so many people's lives. I thank you for that article. And then, now that we are, we've got about 13 minutes left. So we've got about 10 minutes left to chit chat here. I want you to talk about, Rob, that really cool movie that I'm still downloading. It now says I'm down to 2 hours and 49 minutes from when we were talking before. And tell us a little bit about what that is and why this is now important to you.
It is actually something completely different from everything we've talked about. So hopefully this will either make you cut off your feed and say, don't download another second of that garbage, or we'll try to rev it up. But okay. What that video is me as a gay dad talking about The Talk.
No.
Yes. The Talk. The talk that parents dread having, and I'm not talking about Santa Claus, but the talk parents dread having with their kids, which is the sex talk. So I tell a little anecdotes in there. One about the sex talk that I got when I was a kid with my folks. But really the issue for me was that, I was watching some videos of, parents telling their kids, about sex. And one of the parent groups was a pair of two moms, lesbian moms, telling their son. And one of the things I noted was they were talking to him about something they don't participate in. And that would be the case for me, too, is that the way a lot of parents talk about this to their kids is, here is where babies come from. I'm going to tell you where babies come from. And they talk about the whole process for procreative sex. Well, I have never had procreative sex. I am never going to have procreative sex. That isn't anything I'm about. And so if I made that the talk with the boys. First of all, I'd be talking about something that I'm like a spectator of. Well, not literally.
Not literally.
But you know what I mean. Yeah, not literally. But also, it wouldn't be honest. Because even for straight people, even for people who do have sex with the intention that they are going to have a baby or two, the majority of their sexual lives are not about that. You know, if it were, there would be no birth control industry at all.
Right.
You know, we'd all have the last name of Duggar, you know, where every one of them was meant to make a baby, you know.
Yeah.
And so I decided to address the sex talk in a more, you know, this is what two adult people in a responsible relationship that want to be intimate and naked with each other, this is what it is about. And that is actually what happened when I told them about it. So that's what the video is about.
How did that go, Rob?
It was really interesting. I planned it for a while and thought about how I was going to say it, and it came up out of the blue because my sons are Jason and Jesse, and we were riding to school, and Jesse said to me, Daddy, Jason says the F word means sex. And Jason was like, it was like cringing in the back seat. I said, well, what do you think the F word means? He goes, oh, well, I think it just means you're silly. I said, well, no, technically Jason's actually right. It means sex. And Jason was going, oh, I told you that's what it meant. And so meanwhile, I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. So, wait, we need to back up here. I said, wait a minute, you guys, do you even know what sex is? Because they have had some health classes that went through the biology of male, sure, female, and that type of stuff. And they said, well, it's when, you know, grownups get naked and they do things. I went, well, okay, do you know what they do? And they said, no. And so part of me is going, okay. So I still have not missed the train on this one. So I basically said what I just described to you about, you know, adults and, you know, intimacy and responsibility, and, you know, and I described the different sex acts. And Jason was in the back seat going, I can't hear you, you know, and Jesse was very quiet. And I did say, you know, and if the two people are a male and a female, when they do this, then the sperm could fertilize the egg, and that's how a baby is made. So the baby making was in there, but it wasn't the point. And Jesse just kind of looked at me, and I said, you know, does that make sense? He goes, goodbye, childhood.
I can't unhear this, Dad. Thank you.
I know. That was the final word from Jesse on the subject. Uh-huh. So, gosh.
Where are people going to be able to see this movie or this video or whatever you call it?
That will be released by The Next Family at thenextfamily.com. And I will be sending it out on Evol Equals Facebook page as well. But yeah, it'll be through them. And The Next Family has a YouTube channel, so it'll be part of the YouTube channel online.
I love that. I love that. Well, let's get wrapped up here. We've got about a minute and a half left before I'm going to shamelessly plug my hit song, Gay Wedding, because, of course, you know, I'm trying to move some merch. I want everybody to go out and buy Gay Wedding, right, or at least watch the video on YouTube. So, Rob, before I let you go tonight, number one, we need to figure out when you're coming back. So we'll talk offline on how we're going to get you back. I'm hoping sometime in August. But what do you want to leave listeners with tonight as a closing remark or thought just about life in general? It could be anything you'd like.
Wow. Well, you know what? Actually, I'll tell you what was going on in my mind because you were mentioning gay wedding. The song that I really hope they listen to off your album is the song I Am, because to me, that's my go-to song. It is such an inspiration that in your life, you can do and be whoever you want to be. And what we've been talking about very self-indulgently here is my dream to be a writer, get my voice out there, change the world, be part of. And it's part of my journey that you captured in the song I Am.
Oh my gosh, thank you very much. Well, if I had that to play tonight, I would actually swap the song and actually play that. I don't have that loaded. I've done all of this purposefully. I haven't put any of the other album stuff on the show just simply because I know that I'd be playing all the other songs. You want a Halloween song? I can play it, you know. So we'll get to I Am on another night. So I promise that I'll play that, and we'll do that when you're actually on the show, and we'll talk about that again if that would be okay. So I appreciate that very much. For everybody else who is listening in tonight, again, tomorrow on the Friday Night Dance Party, it's going to be all listener requests. We're going to do a show early. So it's probably going to even be at, like, you could do it as a Friday brunch party dance something or other. We'll come up with a new name. But we're going to do it early in the morning so you can get your weekend started off on a great note. Next week, by the way, here's a little rundown. On Monday, we have our Brisbane takeover from Mary Lou down in Australia. She's going to be interviewing Rosie Shaloub. On Tuesday, we have Billboard recording artist Margot Ray. She's going to do a world premiere with her new song, Never Too Late. That's actually this song that she did with Hall & Oates' John Oates. So that's very, very cool. I don't know what's going on, but on Wednesday, Mary Lou from Australia is coming back, and she's interviewing Amanda Gore. Thursday, we have Rick Carretas, and he is a filmmaker, actor, singer, songwriter, and he's going to be talking about a new project that he's got coming up in Hollywood. And then Friday, next Friday, not tomorrow, but the Friday after tomorrow, we have Miss Shauna Burns coming onto the Friday Night Dance Party, and we're going to be playing her music as well. So, Rob, on behalf of myself and everybody who's listening on Rated G Radio, thank you for being back here. We can't wait to have another episode. We're going to have to come up, I'm going to start calling you Rob the Chandelier. But we'll have another Chandler episode soon. And for everybody else, this is Gay Wedding. Thank you very much. Don't drive distracted, and we'll see you on Friday.
Second to no one. Hey, Mr. Our time has come. Hey, Mr. marry your true love. Hey, Mr. Hot Bun. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a gay wedding. Hey, sister, now you have the right. Hey, sister, she can be your wife. Hey, sister, true love. Hey, sister, go on, take her hand. Hey, sister, true love. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a gay wedding. It's a nice day to start to no one. We've been together so long. Vows made today are so strong. No matter the state that you're from, it's a nice day to start again.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.